Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Spring is in the air, and that means it's time to refresh your wardrobe with the season's hottest trends at the Black Sheep Boutique. Don't blend in this spring. Stand out with the Black Sheep Boutique, with two locations to serve you in Tupelo or Saltillo, or online at theblacksheepboutiquetupelo.com.
Reminding you why we all love living in this great state of Mississippi.
It's the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to the Ricky Matthews Show from the Citizens Bank Studio. I really enjoyed that conversation as we will have him back. We'll talk more about that Delta Rising event that's going to take place in Ocean Springs. I'm always fascinated with the Mississippi Delta, and especially people from the Delta that have such a core belief and understanding of the music and the culture and the food and all of that. It will be a great event, so we'll bring more attention to it as we go forward. Hey, listen, it wasn't long ago I got a note from a guy named John Wenderling, and he is actually a hospice chaplain, and he has written a book called Remember Me. He's got another book that will soon come out. I think it's called Delayed Honor, and we'll talk a little bit about that book as well. But, you know, I thought about this, that you know, my mom, who, as most of you know, passed away a few months ago, you know, took her final breath at my sister Mitzi's house, and it was a sad process to watch her die. But we were, you know, we obviously have a Christian faith and we feel very comfortable about where we are. Mitzi was with her when she took her last breath, and I was there shortly afterwards. And as a former paramedic, I've seen a little bit too much death and dying in my life. But I've come to grips with it. I understand it. And I have so many stories to tell about experiences that people who had near-death experience told. But John Wenderling is a hospice chaplain. He has many stories to tell, and we got a chance to chat just a little bit before the show started just now, and I'm looking forward to having a conversation with him. So without any further ado, let me introduce you to John Wenderling, and just say, first of all, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing wonderful, sir. Ricky, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on and just, when you get the opportunity to speak stories and just talk about your passion, it's always a blessing.
Hey, you know, one of the things that I mentioned to you when we were just talking off the air, one of the things that made it hard about my mother's death, as I mentioned, she had a valve replacement. She wanted her valve because she felt like if she got that valve, she would be better. Of course, the physicians were concerned that they would actually prolong her life, but not give her the quality of life that she was looking for. And unfortunately, that's what happened. But she had, you know, she still lived a year or about a year afterwards. And when I would talk about my kids, she would always remind me, this is the reason she wants to live. She didn't want to die. My mom did not want to die. I mean, she was very fine with God and the Lord and all of that, but she didn't want to die. And that's one of the things that made it so tough. Even the last day she lived, she tried to sit up and have conversations with people in the room. Just such an amazing spirit. And you've seen that before, haven't you, John?
Absolutely. You know, we get the impression, Ricky, that because we're Christian, we just we pack our bags and wait for the Lord to come, you know, drive the big bus by and pick us up. But, you know, truthfully, that's not the way it is. I've seen sweet, godly people being somewhat fear at the end. You know, death comes to us in a moment, as Scripture tells us, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But yet, that moment in time is so scary for people. I can just tell you stories upon stories about those who were very much prepared, and then those who went out literally screaming where medications just weren't enough for them. So,
yeah,
you know, God bless your mama, because you know what? Paul in the Scripture said that we're not to attach ourselves to this world, but we still do. We love those grandbabies. We love those children. So God bless your mama.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I mean, you see this, and I'm sure that your book is full of these stories that if people had it to do over again, what would they have done differently? What is it that they cherish the most? What is it that they love the most? What is it that they want to not die for? You know, over your many, many years as a hospice chaplain, also now that you've written a book about it, is there a continuity in the stories, or is there continuity? Are there intersections that people share about this life?
Well, you know, Ricky, it's good that you asked that question because it's true. You know, as we come to the end of our life, if we have knowledge that the end is coming like your mother did, even though she was, you know, she rejected it some, we start to run through our life. We start to reflect. We start to even younger than that, maybe you and even myself, I've started to reflect on this thing called life. And, you know, as they're sitting there, they are running through life. And, you know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas start to haunt them. And I think my part of my job is to get with them and love them up and explain to them that whatever it was, it was in some ordained plan that that they didn't miss out. But I can tell you 1,000 times I've heard people say, I'm 95 years old, and where has life gone? Where has my life gone? And I'm just there to tell them that they're still here for a purpose, and the purpose is to be with me, share time with me.
Do you find people have misconceptions about what a hospice chaplain does?
Absolutely. You know, it's like any sort of spiritual situation, Ricky. Either you're Christians, you think the job of a chaplain is to get in there and wrestle with them and beat that Bible over their head. But the world looks at chaplains as that fearful person that, oh no, it becomes real. You know, in the hospice business, we have a series of people that visit, like probably your mother. We had a nurse that went by and visited, and maybe a CNA that came by and helped take care of and maintain, and maybe a social worker called once just to kind of see that the paperwork was taken care of. But you know, when that chaplain walks through the door, it all becomes real. So there's a horrible misconception about what a chaplain does. I carry a Bible with me, but I don't thrust the Bible on people. Much like Jesus Christ himself, Jesus Christ never said, you know, you better believe. He just said, trust. So yes, it's a common fallacy that chaplains are just those Bible toting, vicious, God spewing kind of monsters, you know, and I have to tell you, we're not.
Well, it strikes me that what I'm hearing you say is that certainly the foundation is religion, the foundation is spiritual, but at the end of the day, you're there to be their friend, you're there to be sort of a consoling, psychological Amen. Connection of some sort, and whatever it is they need.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I've had as many conversations about 69 Corvettes and vacations and firstborns and grandbabies. And, you know, I get the opportunity to come into what we call the last season of their life, as Christians would call it. You know, there was an old song written in the mid-60s, and I know you and I both know it. It's called Turn, Turn, Turn. It says there's a season to live and a season to die, a season to laugh and a season to cry. Well, as Christians, we believe that last season is, for me, a gracious opportunity to be able to come into their lives and have what I like to refer to as a Norman Rockwell moment, where, and we know Norman Rockwell had the ability to catch a moment in time, and that's what I just anticipate every time I visit somebody. It's always a new adventure to walk into somebody's room.
Well, I'm actually curious, when you set out to write these real life stories of your experiences with those in hospice care, did you think going into this that you were seeking to write an inspirational book?
No. I'll tell you, I've spent the last almost decade or so just coming to my computer when I noticed a story and just downloading into it. And then at the end of the day, I came to the point where I said, you know, I think I want to try to put it on paper. And the purpose behind my book is if I can get one person to understand that this is just as much a part of life as it is any other part, that we have to prepare, as Scripture tells us, to prepare. If I could touch one heart, one life, and tell them, I know it sounds simple, Ricky, but just tell them it's going to be okay. For your mama, just tell them it's going to be okay.
Well, you know, it's you know, I think as a general rule, and I'd be curious about how you think about it, but as a hospice chaplain, you've had a lot of time to think about, you know, life and death. You know, that's just, they go together. And most people have a very difficult time contemplating the end. That's they don't want to think that way. They just want to. Hopefully, if they're smart, they're living in the moment. They're not worried about yesterday because they can't control anything about that, and they're not overly worried about tomorrow because they can't necessarily control that. They can just make good choices today and live in the moment. But I bet you hear that a lot from patients that you've dealt with, that they wish they would have lived in the moment more.
Absolutely, I can tell you. They're not even in, not even stories that are in my book. I can tell you of just people who, at the end of their life, didn't see any hope. You know, it's amazing to me that a person can come to the end of his life and see nothing after that, see nothing after their last breath. And for some, it's very scary. And for others, they do well with it. But I just, it's just real sad. And for those people, I seem to want to visit more and love up more and just be with them more to try to give them some comfort.
I would bet there's a huge role that you play for family members that are there to give them care. When we come back on the other side, we'll actually talk about the extended aspect of relationships that John builds working with people who are in hospice. And of course, it led to his book. We'll talk a little bit more about his book and how you might get a copy of it, etc. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with John Winderline. We'll see you after this.
To more of the Ricky Matthews Show on Super Talk Mississippi.
You know, as I get older and I think about the role that a hospice chaplain would play, I can't help but think about Dr. Death. People don't want to focus on it, you know. But as I get older, and after the experience with my mother recently, and as you know, I was a paramedic and I saw people in their final hours many times, and I kind of came to grips with it as part of life. And I found inspiration in it, and that something that guides me on the show often, John Winderline, who has written a book called Remembering Me, observations that he made as a hospice chaplain. But I think about that, it helped sort of center me in the reality that I have to be more thankful and more aware of everyone and everything around me in this moment. I'm really focused on that. And the other point is that you never know what someone's going through. You just never know. And so one of the things I thought about is that when you may be with people who are near the end of their lives, you're also with their families who are sort of having to take that in. And it seems to me that you're very important to the person who is in hospice, but you would be very important to the people who are surrounding that person in hospice. You're really a counselor in a way, aren't you?
Well, absolutely. I'll tell you that there's no training, for example, your sister could have taken to become a caregiver. There's none. And you know what? Every moment in time, and maybe even you have faced it after your mother's death, you second guess yourself. Woulda, coulda, shoulda will be those things that haunt our loved ones long after we're gone. My not just my job, but my passion is to let them know that it's no greater gift than to do what you're doing. Because, you know, you don't sleep unless they sleep, and you barely sleep. You don't eat unless they eat. You just don't do anything unless that person you're loving and caring for is comfortable. You know, love is an action word. It does, it comes easily from the mouth, but it's harder to come through actions. And, you know, my father passed away a few years ago, and I remember that afternoon he came home to die, and my mother was feeding the garbage disposal with a big meal. And I walked in and she was crying. And I said, "Mama, why are you crying?" She said, "He won't eat." And I said, "Mama, he's not hungry, I'm sure." He had been in very horrible shape, 2 or 3 years of denigration. But the point is that my mother, just even to this day, 4 years after my father died, has passed, just feels like she should have done more. And, you know, we're going to go through that, and it's okay.
So as a hospice chaplain, when you made the decision to write a book of stories that ultimately came Remembering Me, who was your target? Was it people who might be in the future be in hospice, or people who were in hospice, or their families, or maybe all of the above? What were you thinking?
Well, I think you'll find that the stories in my book, even my second book, are stories of people that you can relate to. The first story in my book, Remember Me, is a gentleman I call Robert. And if you ever knew Rodney Dangerfield, Johnny Carson's show a lot, he's what, you know, I get no respect kind of guy. That's what Robert was. So I tried to make my patients as real life as I could. But, you know, what I do know, Ricky, is that everybody has a story without exception. Everybody has a life story.
Yeah. Everybody's made some impact of some sort. And so listen, before, but I don't want to get to the end of this and we run out of time. So how can people who might want to, get your book, how can they get it?
Remember Me, JW.com is my web page to get both books. Go to Amazon, of course. My second book is Delayed Honor. It's dealing with Vietnam veterans and the end of their life and the tragedy they lived the last 50, 60 years of their life, never getting the respect that was due them. And in my dealing with those at the end of their life, as you and I would probably know about that story. I thought, Ricky, that was going to be my first book, but it was just so emotional that I had to give it time. I had to weed through it emotionally.
Hey, but John, I'm curious about that, actually. Maybe we can come talk more about that in the future, but it seems to me that this notion of lack of respect, which was extraordinarily well documented, it's part of our history now, that some would emerge from that incredibly resilient because they've seen it and they felt it and the power of the human spirit prevailed and they became literally a living picture of what resiliency should be. Others, for whatever reason, it could be post-traumatic stress syndrome or you name it, really never came to deal with it. Did you find all of the above in that situation as well?
Well, it's funny. Those men and women who put on that face of strength when it comes to the end of their life and they're reflecting on their life, all bets are off. Emotions start bubbling. All those things that they had pushed to the back, thinking that they were successful in that, come to haunt them. And every case I ever dealt with, they were pretty emotional at the end.
Well, listen, John, we'll have you back again. I've really enjoyed meeting you today, and I appreciate you reaching out to me. This has been John Wenderling, who has written a terrific book, two books. One, Remembering Me, about his time as a hospice chaplain. And then the other one is essentially where he talks to end-of-life Vietnam veterans, called Delayed Honor. And it's, I mean, and you can tell he has a very heartfelt approach to what he does. But it's been a pleasure to meet you, my friend.
God bless, Ricky. You guys be blessed.
You bet. Have a great day, and we will see you tomorrow.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.